Who is the greatest? This question might not be the first thing that comes to mind in our daily interactions and decisions. However, for those who first followed Jesus, it was a very real question. We probably cannot fully grasp how deeply status was ingrained in the cultures from which the Gospels come to us. In Jesus' time, your standing affected how you lived your life from day to day, how you related to other people, and they to you. Working out the appropriate honor and respect due to an individual was a constant task, whether it be in worship, discussions, eating family meals, receiving guests and seating them, or greeting people in public, and so on. The disciples were no different to anyone else in asking such a question. The real difference comes with what Jesus has to say about this subject. In today's gospel, Jesus makes a point of walking the road with just his disciples so that he could have an intimate conversation with them. In the previous chapters of Mark, Peter, James, and John had witnessed the transfiguration. And just last week, we heard how Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Knowing their expectations for greatness, Jesus explained for a second time that he was going to be betrayed, killed, and then rise to new life. Jesus was telling his disciples that everything he did was part of his mission of making God's kingdom of justice, peace, and well-being present among them. None of it was for his own glory, but rather for the good of everyone concerned. His companions responded with silence. No questions, no sympathy, not even a protest. And once Jesus was out of hearing distance, they got into a lively discussion of their own. The scene when they arrived at their destination must have been very interesting. When Jesus asked them what they had been arguing about along the way, they again took refuge in their silence. However, Jesus knew exactly what they had been talking about: success, glory, greatness, but the disciples were too embarrassed to admit it. We could expect that Jesus should have been critical of their ambitions. However, he uses that moment to teach them what true greatness is. Jesus does not tell them that they should not desire to excel, to achieve, to do great things. He does not condemn that very normal impulse, because he knows that achieving things, making a difference in the world, is a basic need felt by every human heart. This is one of the purposes of our lives, being a sign of God's goodness by making a positive difference in the world. So Jesus does not scold them for wanting to do something great. Instead, he tells them what true greatness really is by using the example of a child. If you wanted to select a person of the least importance in Jesus' time, then a child was a very good choice. A child was totally dependent on others, and in this sense, completely powerless. Jesus puts this unimportant child in the center of the room, the most important place, and then takes the child into his arms. The one of no status is given the position of greatest honor. The last is placed first. And as Jesus picked up the child, he was performing a living parable, teaching the disciples and all of us here today that loving someone is the greatest service you can do for them. Everything else flows from that, and nothing else is very valuable without it. Today's gospel reminds us that our understanding of greatness as Jesus' disciples should not be centered upon popularity, power, wealth, and worldly success. Rather, it should be grounded in the same mission that Jesus himself undertook: to serve others, to reach out to those who are weak and in need, just like little children. Greatness in Jesus' kingdom is equated with humility, an attitude of the heart that puts the good of others ahead of one's own preferences. It is self-giving, not self-getting. So how can we shape our lives to be great, as Jesus teaches us and asks us to be as his disciples? One way we can go about this is to consider what spiritual writers call purity of intention. This involves carrying out Christ-like actions, doing what is morally right, even when it's difficult or unpopular, being patient and forgiving with people who drive us crazy, finding creative ways to encourage and support those around us, and secondly, forming a Christ-like heart by recognizing that every single person, starting with oneself, is valued, esteemed, and appreciated by God, and actually wanting what is best for every person, regardless of whether or not we happen to get along with them, and also considering other people just as important as ourselves. Friends, Jesus did not tell his disciples, do not strive to achieve great things, but he did point out where true, lasting, fulfilling greatness truly lies, in loving one's neighbor just as Jesus loves them. So as we leave Mass today, inspired by the Word of God and strengthened by the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, what are those things that we need to let go of? What are those things that we can do to follow our Lord's example of greatness by serving others without any expectations of earthly rewards, and in doing so, help build the Lord's kingdom here on earth?